Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by my tag team partner each and every week here on the show, Rich Stambolian.
Hey, my babies. How you doing?
That's how
he does it, right?
That's exactly how he does it. Perfect. And nobody's going to hear this. No one's hearing this like little side chatter. I'm going to edit this whole thing out. Nobody's going to know that it's not Rich. Joel Pearl here. Joel, you've been up to a lot of stuff. Fightful Overbooked.
Yes. Fightful Overbooked. If I may plug for a moment.
Yeah, man.
If you head on over to youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked, yeah, you can go see Sean Ross Sapp on the main channel. That's fine. He's great. But if you want complete nonsense wrestling talk, if you want just people joking around about old wrestling, new wrestling of all kinds, we're like the ESPN, the Ocho of Fightful. Go to youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked. I host a bunch of shows. If you know Will Washington, he hosts a bunch of shows. Jeremy Lambert, who writes at the site, he's got it. And everyone that you can think of that you might like or maybe don't like, who cares? It's wrestling. It's subjective. You can go over there, Fightful Overbooked. We've got new content dropping literally every day, sometimes more than once a day. Go check it out.
Yeah, you guys are doing some great stuff. I think I have Will on Observer Live in the next couple of weeks.
Wonderful human being.
Yeah, great. He's great. He's great at, I listen to a whole bunch of stuff that he does, so he's fantastic. And you're fantastic too, Joel, a good friend of ours here at the show. I like that everybody's so intertwined now. We all work together. There's no animosity amongst brains, except us. We have a ton of animosity towards each other.
Yeah, I mean, I basically had to blackmail you into getting the spot today.
You did. That's how it worked.
Yeah.
He has all my photos stored. He saw what happened in Vegas. He took all these photos, and now he just pulls it out, and he's like, remember this? And I'm like, okay, you're on the show this week.
You're an incredibly easy man to set up.
Tell me about it. A lot happening in pro wrestling, man, the last couple of weeks. This is a very hot period. A lot of changes happening. I wanted to get your thoughts on this before we go into what happened on Dynamite and everything else. This whole... obviously, the entire Cody thing. I'd love to get your thoughts on this and what you think is going on here.
I mean, from everything I'm hearing and everything that I'm reading, it's happening. He's ready to move on. He's ready to leave the territory, as I know a pal Dave Meltzer said and was told to him. I'm excited for him to potentially go back to WWE. I know a lot of people are feeling a little on edge about it, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, you got to go where your priorities are. And his priorities may not be running a new wrestling company. It's clearly there's some money involved that he needs or wants. He wants to grow his public profile. That's understandable. And you don't necessarily do that in AEW, which is growing and it's wonderful, yeah. But it's not WWE. So for him to go back and potentially, A, make more money, which, you know, he's a new father. It's time. Maybe he wants to see that growth for his family and secure that bag for his family. That's great. And again, the priorities change. And I'll never, ever, ever try to understand why a millionaire does what he does. But in this case, it just sounds like he's ready to be a big player on a bigger stage.
You know, unlike I have the total opposite problem. My day-to-day job is to figure out how millionaires think. Literally. No,
the more power to you.
I have to speculate daily on why they do things the way that they do for my day job. So very different. Listen, I agree with you. Everything you said here. Listen, you know, people get upset. Some people feel like he turned his back on them. Listen, people... It's a career, man, and sometimes you make crazy moves. I have gone back to jobs and worked with clients that I swore to myself I never, ever would again. And sometimes I'm still miserable doing it, and I realize it was a big mistake. And other times, things are a little bit different. So I'm very curious how this goes, especially for Cody. Listen, man, I hope he has his tremendous career when he goes back. You know, yes. I hope it's a very different positioning for him, and they propel him to the top, and he's able to do some really cool stuff, and it works on TV. I mean, you can't hope for the worst for somebody, and I don't understand that. I don't have that thought process. I don't hate watch things, and I don't look at people, and I hope for their demise. You know, like I don't think that way. So listen, he's going back. I think it's interesting, and we'll see whatever happens. It's going to happen within the next couple of weeks for sure. You know, either. Building up to Mania or the day after Mania, we'll see it. I don't know what the right way to do it is, but we're seeing a lot of these changes happen. And I want to get your thoughts on the Steve Austin stuff, man.
Hold on, before we get there, can I give you my theory how this Cody thing goes?
Yeah, give it to me. Give it to me.
Okay. So a lot of people are saying, you know, Raw's going to be at the Vistar Arena in Jacksonville, March, I think it's like 14th or something like that. That's great. You know what's even closer and better? There's a SmackDown in Miami on March the 4th. March the 4th is a Friday night. March the 6th, down the road in a little town called Orlando, is AEW Revolution.
Interesting.
And there's going to be a live Rampage on Friday night. And remember SummerSlam? Remember when we met at SummerSlam? Remember what happened the Friday nights going into SummerSlam weekend? Remember how the talk all switched?
What was
when
it?
A certain Punk, Punk decided to make his debut in Chicago?
Yeah.
I think we're going towards that. And it's a turnabout is fair play. And no, by no means am I saying, you know, the CM Punk story is bigger than the Cody story. I'm not saying that. It's not a question of who's bigger,
that's a fantastic receipt to give.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's exactly it.
I didn't even think of that. I think that's a fantastic theory, dude. To do it on that day when they have a pay-per-view going on and make it into something tremendous. I think you're right.
If it happens, I will take victory laps. And then people are going to say, you know, oh, but who's he going to face on SmackDown? Here's the great thing about Cody coming in. He's not assigned a brand.
Yeah, he can go anywhere.
He can go anywhere. And SmackDown is viewed by more people than Raw. That's the reality of it. That's the way the TV contract works. That's Fox versus USA. He can easily get more eyes and say, I'll be on Raw this Monday night. And then I'll address WrestleMania.
But I like
now,
that,
I want to tell you, I'm back.
Yeah, but you know what, though? That is such thoughtful booking. You know,
it's not going
to be that way. Like, I just think he's going to come out and like interrupt the Dolph Ziggler. No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think if they when they position him, he's going to be positioned in a bigger picture because it's not the same Cody. It's not Stardust. It's not anything. This is a whole new person going into this company. It's a very different Cody. So we'll see, man. I think that's a fantastic way to do it. I'd love to get people's thoughts on that and what they think. They think that's a good idea. Let's see. Steve Austin, I want to get your thoughts on that before we go into the news.
So, okay, it's been 19 years since his last match. I understand that. I also understand that the Cody stuff completely took away from the Stone Cold news. I'm fine with watching him in a match. I'm fine with seeing Stone Cold come back. If it's one time, Kevin Owens would be the perfect guy to match up with. He would be safe with Kevin. Kevin loves Stone Cold. They're friends outside the ring. There's a lot of professional respect there and love.
Yeah.
I want to see a match like that. On top of that, I think that if and when it happens, that's when it'll pick up again in this news cycle. Because the Cody stuff is a now conversation.
Well, the Cody stuff took over. Like,
And it's understandable, though.
You know, and like, we're 2 weeks in and we're still talking about it. And I think this is a big deal.
It is. And with Stone Cold, it's still a big deal. But the problem is, it's twofold. One is that Cody is an immediate star. He's an immediate factor in that he's coming as the EVP and founder of the competition, whether WWE admits it or not. Doesn't matter. He's still an active wrestler crossing over. And the other thing is Stone Cold shows up all the time. He's been around. He's just never been he's never had a full match wrestling active. He comes in. He does the stunner. And that's it. That's good enough. But for him to have a full match, that's gonna be the bread and butter.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff. Elimination Chamber. Let's go into this. Was this Saturday. We did a watch-along here. I thought it was the easiest watch-along I've ever done. The show was under 3 hours. I messaged somebody at WWE, and I said, hey, can I ask you something? And they go, yeah, what's up? I go, are you by Nick Khan by any chance? He goes, no. I said, can you do me a favor? Can you tell him to move all the pay-per-views to noon on a Saturday? Thanks.
You're going to get your wish soon enough at Mania Weekend, so there you go.
I got to tell you, man, it was fantastic to watch it. It was easy. Now, outside of the show, right? There were some hits. There were some misses with the show. There was a couple of cool things that happened. Roman Reigns defeated Bill Goldberg to retain the Universal Championship. This is Bill's last match on his deal. I don't think this will be his last match in WWE. I think when they do his last match, it'll be a big send-off. They've done a great job at erasing all the wrong with Bill Goldberg's first run in this company. I thought it was fine. It wasn't, you know, Bill looked okay, right? I don't think he looked terrible.
Yeah, it was fine. The match was what it was. It was Roman Reigns smashing another legend.
And he should. And
the match was, yeah, it was. Listen, the smartest thing that they probably did was put Goldberg in his own little enclosed dressing room with padded walls and said, go nuts.
Regardless. Yeah, that's what they do. Just smashing his head everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. He can't stop it. It's just part of the routine. But if you put padded walls in, then you're protecting him. You're protecting your investment, Andrew. That's what you do.
Bianca Belair defeated Doudrop, Nikki A.S.H., Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, and Rhea Ripley in the Elimination Chamber. Again, a lot of the wrongs were made right here. A lot of people were concerned that Bianca's going to get pushed to the side, and she obviously hasn't. She's still going to face Becky Lynch at WrestleMania in a big-time rematch. I know that Becky really wants to make Bianca look good. That's what everybody's telling me. I think that's going to be a fantastic match. And I think Bianca deserves to be in that spot. She is, I got to tell you, I watched all of Raw this week live, which I hadn't done in a very long time. She is so impressive, Bianca.
Yeah.
She is so impressive. I think her match with Doudrop, I didn't think it would be, you know, I thought it was really good. It was fine. It was what it was supposed to be meant to be. And I think Doudrop looked good. And I think Bianca looked good. Very impressed by Bianca. Again, I say this all the time, and I should stop being impressed because she's so good. But every match, I'm very impressed by her.
Yeah, she's got not only that charisma, not only the it factor, but on top of that, she's strong as hell. And for them to go and give her the win in the chamber, her first chamber appearance, great. She wins the Rumble last year. She's on a roll. Anyone who thinks that Bianca Belair is being, quote, shoved down your throat hasn't been paying attention.
No.
They've been slowly building her up in the back. There are people, at least on the internet where, you know, everyone likes to talk. But Bianca versus Becky is the match. And hearing what came out last week from Louis Dangor about maybe it being a four horsewoman triple threat or fatal four-way at Mania, I'm glad that that's not happening.
I actually spoke to Louis about this. When he posted it, I we were DMing and he was, you know, we were like just cross-referencing some of the stuff that we had heard. I had heard this. I mean, I've heard this every year, right? You've heard this a while, but I did hear that this was a little bit more of a discussion. Not that they would, I don't know if they would do it, obviously, because the writers pitch a ton of stuff. Yeah. I this year obviously would not have been the year, but it would have been a very, and I don't think the Ronda equation is the big one here with this. A lot of people say, well, it's because Ronda's involved. No, I think it's more to do with the fact that Bayley is still, you know,
yes,
not she had setbacks. And well, I don't know if that played a major part in this but I think it was a combination of things. I listen, they have all the time in the world to do this still. They have in the next couple of years to get through this.
I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize that when we were getting into the Royal Rumble and people were talking about Bayley coming back, Bayley was posting stories of herself just learning how to jump again.
Yeah.
She's got some time until she's free. And I think if she does come back, it'll be the night after Mania with Bianca having the title. And she says, you didn't beat me. In fact, we were supposed to have a match and I got injured. So now I want that match. And that's how you open up Bianca's next title reign.
And I'm cool with that. I think that's a great opponent for her. You know, another decorated champion. She's, you know, it's that one generation removed, right?
Exactly.
You know, so wild to think that we are now past that women's revolution generation of talent on this roster. Now we have a whole new, I mean, you look at this card and it's a whole very different group of, you know, great competitors.
It really is. It's amazing, especially with that Elimination Chamber match. It was all different women, and it was a good match. It was a really fun match.
Ronda Rousey and Naomi defeated Sonya Deville and Charlotte. It was fun. It was whatever. Ronda came out in her gi. I almost went and put mine on. Rich was trying to get me to put my gi on.
With your blue belt? Black belt? I don't know.
I'm a third degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Oh, okay, well then, I know not to piss you off again unless I photos.
Can't do shit. Let me tell you something. It's all nonsense.
It's all nonsense. Go on a rant about, you know, karate?
Joe Rogan discovered that Taekwondo was bullshit. Okay, at a late stage in life, he talks about it. He's like, yeah, I just realized that it just wasn't, like, it was fine, but it's not like a real combat sport, right? I came to that realization very early on.
I hear Tai Chi is where it's at.
Tai Chi, you really want to get it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Drew McIntyre defeated Riddick Moss in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Riddick fell right on his head. Nasty, nasty spot. He's okay. But yep, a lot of people, you know, backstage reports were that people were very impressed by Riddick. Actually, Riddick is impressive. He's Madcap Moss. I'm so sorry. Madcap Moss. He's not Riddick anymore.
Actually, in my parts, Andrew, we call him future Intercontinental Champion Madcap Moss.
Okay, future IC Champion Madcap Moss. He's fine. I like him. He's another guy that they got to get those stupid suspenders off him, but he looked good. Obviously, this is leading now into a Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin match. And to be honest, this is in my knowings, this feud was supposed to end when, like, 3 weeks ago. No, more than a month ago. January was supposed to end, and because of Drew's injury, they just couldn't position the Mania thing. So now we have a Baron Corbin and possibly Drew McIntyre Mania match. Yeah, don't really care for it.
It'll be like WrestleMania 35, where it'll be Drew having a quick match. It'll be a squash towards the end of the night, and people will just say, "All right, well, we did that." And I want better for Drew, but if this is the way we're going to do it, then that's the way we're going to do it for now.
Yeah. Becky Lynch defeated Lita to retain the Raw Women's Championship. Weird ending. It was a weird match. You know, it was kind of slower. Lita looked way better, you know, than previous time she's been in the ring. The ending came out, and I understand why they did it the way they did, but it kind of came out of nowhere. So I don't know if this is Lita's last match. If it is, you know, she faced Becky Lynch in a major stadium. Good way to go out. And now Becky's ready for Bianca. Brock Lesnar defeated Bobby Lashley, Austin Theory, Matt Riddle, AJ Styles, and Seth Rollins in an Elimination Chamber match to win the WWE Championship. Bobby Lashley has lost the title once again without actually losing the title.
He's got claims.
Yeah.
When he comes back, he's got claims to go after.
He has tons. Yeah, and... you know, I don't think this is wrong to do. I think Brock having the title, if you are doing, and which you are doing, right? You're doing Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. You want this to be bigger than previous matches, which we're going to get to this, obviously. But
yeah.
Does this change the interest level in the match? For me, a little bit. For a little bit. It sweetens it a little bit. But, you know, like, I get why they're doing this. I get what their thinking is. You know, but who wins this? Does Brock walk around with two titles? Does Roman now have claim to both brands? And you know, how long do you keep that up? Because then that means that he has to lose at some point now.
You want to know how this ends?
Tell me.
At WrestleMania, Roman Reigns wins, has both titles in his hands with the bloodline surrounding him. He's excited. And then he throws down that WWE championship, not the Universal one, the WWE championship. And then they're forced to do a multi-man match at WrestleMania Backlash. No.
See, I would hate
that. And you know who walks out with Brock, the WWE Brock Championship? Lesnar? No. Cody.
Oh, my! I love your fantasy booking. I don't care for that ending, though. I don't want to see the title thrown on the floor.
So the reason I see it like that is because of what happened at the Rumble, where you had Roman Reigns come in and knock Bobby Lashley out with the title. And then what did he do? He immediately threw it on the ground like he didn't care about it.
Yeah, interesting.
That's where I'm getting that. You can see that in his eyes. He was like, nah, the blue title is the one I care about. So I could see that going on at WrestleMania.
Yeah, very. You know what? Possibly. Raw highlights 1.825 million. Viewership is hanging on there. They had a very strong 18 to 49. A 0.51, 662,000 views. I believe this is the most watched by the key demo since early October. Obviously, WrestleMania season. Numbers are going up. Brock Lesnar was interrupted by Paul Heyman. This was fun, okay? And then we're going to go into a lot of the news. I'm just going to skim down this really quickly because there's a bunch of WrestleMania stuff to talk about. But this was really cool to see. Heyman comes out, cuts a promo, right? And what do? They plug two shows. They plug SmackDown. Great. And they plugged the MSG show coming up, I believe, March 4th? When is that MSG show?
I think it's the 5th, which is the day after that SmackDown in Miami.
Very interesting, right? I think I'm going to go to that house show, by the way, on the 5th.
I'm going to be there. Hey, those are fun. Those are fun at the Garden.
It's like 10 minutes away. How do I not? Very interesting for them to promote a house show, and they announced that Bobby Lashley will be the opponent unless he can't compete. So if he can't compete, I'm curious who it is. Very, very, very curious by this. Maybe it's Cody.
Oh, God, no.
What if he's a Paul Heyman guy? What if they bring him in as a Paul Heyman dude?
Okay, so you know how this gives credence. Okay, here, let's give credence to the argument.
Yeah.
If what I say comes true and Cody debuts in Miami the night before, then he confronts Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman says, you want a shot at the title? You got a shot at the title. It's going to be the next night, Madison Square Garden. You're going to take on Brock Lesnar.
Cool.
But then you crush Cody and it looks bad.
Then you crush Cody. Yeah.
He can't do that on the first night in.
Well, unless it's not, you know, unless it's like a, you know, like a, he goes and faces him for like 2 seconds and then everybody runs in and beats him up, you know?
Yeah, you could do that. But then, I don't know. I feel like it'll just be the Usos. It'll be like a 2-on-1 handicap match.
You know what I would love? Oh, dude. You know what? I'm having fun with this. Fantasy booking, right?
Let's do it.
It's Austin Theory and Cody at WrestleMania. Vince got a new son. He has a new boy now.
Yes.
He got rid of Shane, right? Shane's the old boy. The new boy, Austin Theory, he's not cutting the mustard. He has a new boy. And he, you know, Hunter's not around. It's Cody. And he's like, my son's here. Cody, my boy, you're back. You're back to daddy. You know, he cuts this crazy promo and they have this like father and son relationship.
I
could be a plumber too. And Vince is like with a plunger. He doesn't know how to use a plunger. He's putting it the opposite end.
Did you get those polka dots I sent in the mail for you? Did you put them on your tights? Yep.
Yeah, I'm having fun with that. That's not happening. I like to fantasy book with Joel. That's what we do now. That's our thing. You know what? That should be our gimmick. That's our gimmick. Now we just fantasy book terrible finishes.
The problem is I do that. Hold on. I do that on another show, and most of the time it comes true, and people friggin' hate me for it.
Terrible. Miz introduces tag partner that'll be facing Mysterio, WrestleMania. Plenty of Cody hints here, but it's Logan Paul. Tommaso Ciampa and Finn Balor defeated Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode. Tommaso Ciampa and Finn Balor look fantastic together. Ciampa looked great. He unaged by like 15, 20 years by, you know, shellacking his beard. Edge laid down an open challenge for WrestleMania, teasing a potential opponent. This was cool. A lot of speculation that it's AJ Styles, which I am not against seeing that match. I very much would like to see that match. AJ just signed a new contract, which is in our new segment. I think, you know, he's happy there, man. And, dude, the guy worked very hard to get to where he is. He's making the most money he's ever made. I believe his wife's a teacher. Yeah. As far as I think. He wants to live his life and have fun, and he's living his life and having fun. And I think he said something like he's going to work backstage, hopefully, after he retires. So, he's a one in a million guy, and I'm so glad that they recognize that about AJ, because he's one of the, yeah, I mean, from the 2000s, one of the best talents that came out of that era, really, and unrecognized for a very long period of time to the caliber that he could perform for many. And I think now it's solidified. He has his career solidified as one of the top guys in the business of all time, really, for that era.
We don't say Hall of Fame career as much without it meaning a lot. And in this case, it really means a lot, because AJ Styles will be that first ballot Hall of Famer, quote unquote, that people like to talk about, and deservedly so.
Never held the Ring of Honor World Championship, huh?
Time to go back. I hear that Supercard of Honor, there'll be a nice championship opportunity for him there.
Yeah.
Like, he can walk in, walk out, because, hey, it's just independent contractors for ROH moving forward. Why not?
Yeah. Well, isn't that how it works in WWE, independent contractors, right? They could go work wherever they want. That's what an Perfect. Independent contractor is, right? That's
how AJ it works. AJ Styles reclaiming the forbidden door, whatever the hell that is.
Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens defeated Randy Orton and Riddle. KO and Seth added to tag title match in 2 weeks. KO took more shots at Texas throughout the night. Oh, and Veer's coming. All right. WrestleMania update. Here we go. WWE announces two presenting sponsors for WrestleMania 38, Snickers and 2K22. Both will exclusively sponsor main event on both nights. Undertaker will headline the Hall of Fame on April 1st after SmackDown. NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver official. Is it a takeover?
No, they're just calling it. They got rid of the takeover moniker. I think
NXT Stand and Deliver officially announced for Saturday, April 2nd will air at noon. Thank God. You know, that weekend, I was going to go to Dallas, okay? I was going to go to I was contemplating, but there's so much content and I can't do. I can't go to Dallas. Updated Mania card. Obviously, now we have Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Winner take all match for both titles. SmackDown Women's Championship, Charlotte and Ronda. Raw Women's Championship, Becky and Bianca, and everything else is happening. All right, let's go to news. We did the Cody stuff, obviously. WWE has re-signed Drake Maverick to as a producer. They very much like this dude, man.
Yeah, he's a great mind for wrestling. He clearly knows what he's doing. The only problem is that he's been released a couple of times. I wouldn't be surprised if his releases were political in nature, not speaking on him specifically being the politician, but others in the back causing a little bit of a play. We don't need to get into it, but for the fact that he's coming back and he's working as a producer this entire time, all I wish they had done is just, instead of releasing him over and over again, just talk his contract out with him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would have been willing to do it, willing to talk about it. And if I see another video of him tossing that WWE t-shirt in the trash, I'm going to beg them to at least send him a new one, because he's got to get the stank off it. I don't want him to get fired again, though. I'll tell you that much.
No, I don't want him to get fired again. AJ Styles signed, obviously, big deal. Not big deal, like, yeah, big deal. Like, it's a big deal. Machine Gun Kelly producing WWE 2K22 soundtrack and will be a playable character. I know everybody's clamoring at this, right? They want to play as Machine Gun Kelly, right? That's what everybody wants to do.
I mean, I want to play as Kevin Owens so that I can powerbomb Machine Gun Kelly off the Raw stage. That's all I want.
You could do that, yeah. He's curating the list also. Shane Strickland, okay, this is interesting, has been signed to AEW. I have a feeling I know when he's showing up. I think he has some commitments up until the first week in March. So around then, I would imagine, like probably a week or two, he'll be there. Great addition to the roster. Fantastic talent. I hope to see what he could do. And listen, this was a weird way that this was announced, right? Jeff Hardy has signed with AEW. What a weird announcement, right?
Yes. To take a YouTube channel with 330 subscribers. In the dingy background, I don't know if people have seen this. It's like the dingy underbelly of a concert hall, and there's no microphones. It's just a guy with a camera just pointing and shooting, and you really got to look for the audio. But yeah, Jeff Hardy basically says that he's signing with AEW, and I think made an allusion. I didn't see the full interview through, but he may have made an allusion to going back to WWE after he's done with AEW. So I don't know if that's true or if that's in the plans. Regardless, sure,
he's beloved. I mean, you know, he very much so in that company. Come in, do those tag matches, man, and then leave. I mean, you could do that. Obviously, he's not gonna have this long term time in AEW. I can't see him wrestling every week for the next 3 years, right? Neither should he. I don't think he should. I think he's in a position in his career where he could come and go and do whatever the hell he wants at this point.
Yeah, he's just going to come in, look at the set, and be like, what's the tallest thing I can jump off of here?
Yeah.
And then that's going to be it. That's going to be every single appearance for Jeff Hardy. Love the man. He's going to look for ways.
We'll get that Hardys match again. Hardys and the Bucks, right? We'll get that. Yeah. Hardys and FTR. Hardys and Lucha Bros.
Hardys and Private Party is where you
Hardys
kick it
and
off.
Private Party. Maybe a couple singles matches for Jeff Hardy. Yep. What if you do a CM Punk program, you know?
Oh, that's a good callback. You'd have a lot of fun with that.
Him and MJF would be cool. You know, he could have a couple of those big time matches and then move on and do whatever. Obviously, he's a WWE Hall of Fame level guy. They wanted him for the Hall of Fame. They want him back. And you know, is now the time to do it? Probably not. I think they should go in together first, Matt and Jeff.
Do you imagine if he says yes, shows up at the Hall of Fame, and then the next night or whenever, a few nights later on Dynamite shows up, and he's just like,
you could.
Hall of Fame.
He could. AEW Revolution will be shown in select theaters again. So this is interesting. Tony Khan's big announcement. He said that there are NDAs involved with this announcement. I believe this is my own opinion. I think this is going to be more like a streaming thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is what I've said. AEW would really benefit if they had access to a library. Right. Because they do need to build a streaming platform. And, you know, unfortunately for them, yeah, there's tons of content with AEW Dark and Elevation and Dynamite for the last couple of years, but it's only a couple of years worth of content. You know, when you're launching a network of sorts, you kind of need more content. How wonderful would it be if they do some sort of deal with Ring of Honor where they're able to put the Ring of Honor content on there or something else? You know, I think that would be a big part of their streaming platform if they're able to do it. But I personally think this is maybe some sort of announcement that they have a streaming provider. What do you think?
So if you are Tony Khan and you are with AEW, you're looking for the best platform that has the most eyes on it and also has a little bit of wrestling crossover. For me, I would probably want to put it on a place where, say, John Cena has a well-produced show.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm talking Peacemaker. You want to go somewhere where you'll get eyes on your product, but you'll get eyes on the product because someone's watching something else that they're really into, and then AEW becomes like this, oh, I didn't realize wrestling was here. I think that's where you go with it. You can put it on Honor Club, you can put it on, you know, Peacock, whatever it would be, obviously not Peacock, but you put it on one of those streaming services, but it's got to have a reason for you to sign up for it, because yeah. AEW becomes secondary in nature.
Well, I mean, think about it though. The Bleacher Report stuff, it's so outdated. It's such like a yes. like a funky setup. It doesn't make sense, but HBO Max makes the most sense. It's a Warner Media property.
Yes, it needs to be HBO Max. And also, I'm begging you, please, Tony, stop with the announcements of the announcements of the announcements. Please, for the love of God, yeah. Starting to really just,
well, I'm losing it has my mind. To deliver. These announcements, you know, they have to, like, this can't be a very simple announcement, right? It needs to deliver. And when you keep saying, I have a massive announcement, people are going to take it the wrong way, and they're going to speculate, and the speculations are always going to be more than what you think.
Yeah, people assume it's a debut. They assume it's something. But the other thing is, he continues to do this big announcement after Dynamite ratings drop 1 week, and that is a problem for me. You got to don't just tell me I'm going to have, like, oh, the next big star. You can make it a surprise. You don't need to push it. You have a good show. Last night's show was great. We'll talk about it.
Very good show.
And they pulled up, but they didn't need necessarily a big debut surprise to make it great.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, I don't know, we'll see what happens, man. I think doing a deal with HBO and having them as your provider and airing it live on HBO Max would bring a different level of facade to your company. Mm. Not in a bad way. I'm not using facade as it's, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors here, but it would add another, you know, it's like going from vinyl siding to stucco, you know, just a little bit more makeup on your brand. And I think that's a major positive here. And you're obviously HBO Max has been blowing up. I'm considering killing my Netflix subscription because I barely watch anything on Netflix anymore, except for that did. Tinder swindler. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
yeah, very fast. There is a meme going around.
Oh, no.
All over the internet, and it's a Sapphire meme, and it was him calling one of the girls and saying he needs like a $15,000 wire transfer because he spent too much money at Sapphire, and that his enemies spent the money at Sapphire and not him, that he needs to pay the bill. I thought it was fantastic to see that. As a creative marketing guy, I couldn't come up with that. Kudos to whoever did. So I don't know. Like I don't need Netflix anymore, but HBO Max has been killing it, and they have tremendous content on there. Great opportunity for them. Here's another big story. AEW Double or Nothing announced that they're going to have multiple nights in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Double or Nothing will be taking place at T-Mobile Arena as opposed to MGM.
Perfect.
You think this is a good thing?
I love this.
Why is that?
So it's time to start moving into larger arenas. Whether or not you sell them out doesn't matter. The fact that your scalper situation gets a little easier to handle when you have a 20,000 seat arena, that works for me. It also shows that they're ready to take that next step. They can fill a 10,000 seat arena. That's fine. But when you go and Double or Nothing is one of your biggest pay-per-views of the year, you can fill that T-Mobile arena, especially when it's so accessible on the strip. It's right at the top of the strip, I think. top of the bottom. It's one extreme. And like, I stayed at the Park MGM after SummerSlam, and I literally stared at that venue, and I was like, this is perfect. It's right outside my window.
So if you're going to Double or Nothing, what hotel should you stay at? MGM?
You can stay at MGM. I'd stay at the Park MGM, not the MGM Grand, because one is newer than the other.
The Park MGM is newer?
Yeah, yeah. And you can stay at Mandalay Bay, too, because they're going to be doing Dynamite and Rampage at the Michelob Ultra Arena. So you can stay there and get across the street. It's so easy on the Strip. That's the other thing. So you and I talked about me going to Revolution. I'm not going anymore for two reasons. One, my wife and I are expecting, and it's pretty close to the date, so we're not doing that. And the other thing is that they're not having it in Orlando proper. They're having it at the University of Central Florida, and that's like 20 miles down the road, and the hotels are just not there. So for me to have to get a hotel, fly down, I'm Canadian, so I got to do all the COVID stuff too. For me to do all the stuff, it ends up being $1,000 Canadian just to go to the city and hotel.
Yeah.
So I just said, forget it. It's not worth it. The tickets are $29, sure. But the hassle involved and knowing that I work with media, having to wait until 2 a.m. when TK finally lets everyone out of the scrum and there's nothing open and there are no Ubers, there's no public transit. It's like, good God.
I have to tell you, one of the worst experiences was that show in Chicago, leaving that building.
Yeah. The stories, it's nuts.
That was impossible. So I could only imagine what Orlando is going to be like. I think this is cool though. Vegas, like I love Vegas. So I'll be at that show. Obviously Sunday, May 29th. I think we're going to do a whole gathering and a meetup there. We'll try to figure it out, but very excited for this. Cody MGG.
Yes.
Another big F. Cody and Carmella apparently are starting a new reality show. I don't know if you know this. This is breaking news to me. Let's get MG Geek on the line here so I could yell at him. Matt,
I think this is
Cody perfect. And Carmella, huh? All right, now he's muted. All right, that's all I needed from him.
Wonderful.
Let's see. Corey Graves and Carmella have a new reality show. It'll air on WWE YouTube. It has 86 million subscribers, which is more than any of the networks. So we'll see how this does. Japan news, Kairi Sane has returned to stardom, going by Kairi. A New Japan New Year's Golden Series. I gotta skip this. I don't think I have enough time. But I'll do it fast. Sonata defeated Tanahashi?
Wow, that is not right.
Tanahashi to win the IWGP. Hiroshi Tanahashi to win the IWGP. You know, this is like the best bit ever, right? He does the notes in like a manic way. He's like, bah, 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 and he gets all the names wrong, which is fantastic. Okada retained a tons of sociology involved in these matches and in writing the notes. Okada retained the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship over Naito. Very good match.
Yep.
And King of Pro Wrestling Championship dog cage match. Toru Yano defeated Minoru Suzuki. It was insanely fun. All right, Dynamite last night. Let's go into this. The Battle Royal. Kyle O'Reilly was the last man eliminated. He eliminated a last man standing. He eliminated Matt Jackson to earn the spot for the AEW Tag Team Championship match at Revolution. I'm into this match, man. I hope that they win it. I'd love to see them with the titles.
I think this is going to be a retention of titles for Jurassic Express. I think it's too early to let him drop it. I agree with you. There is money, absolutely, in the Red Dragon Young Bucks feud, but I'd rather see that feud start without the titles and then build into it later on. Yeah, I think there's still more story to tell with Jurassic Express.
So this was this led to a problem amongst everybody in the team where Adam Cole came out trying to settle things. The Bucks and him, everybody got in each other's face. Here comes Adam Page. He clears the ring. Cole tried to get involved here. Page does story time with Adam Cole, but he does his own twist on this. Very good opener. It was a lot of fun. A lot happened here, right?
Yep.
And it was a very promo-heavy Dynamite, and not in a bad way. It was a little bit less action and more storytelling to build up the pay-per-view, and I think they did a very good job here. MJF promo. Very good promo. Very strong promo. Yes. Essentially, he came out talking about how he was bullied due to his learning disabilities, and he was bullied because he was Jewish. I don't know how much of that. I mean, I don't know if this is all true or not. He went to Plain. He lived in Plainview.
It is very true, by the way.
It is true. Yes, I was shocked by that.
He's dug that well before.
Okay, I'm very surprised by that. And that, like, in a disappointing way, and like in a very sad way. Plainview is very Jewish. Plainview, Long Island. And yeah. I was shocked when somebody, you know, I had heard some of this prior. Like, I don't know if it was like a, you know, a work story or what, but a terrible story that he told about just being bullied and, you know, just looking up to CM Punk and just very passionate, emotional. That throwing the roll of quarters. What a heinous. Kids could be so freaking mean. You know, yeah. Adults could be mean too, but kids, I mean, could be so cruel. I was very surprised by that kind of stuff goes on in Plainview, Long Island.
It's not just Plainview. I mean,
I know it's not just Plainview, but
no,
Plainview
I know. Me. Yeah, like I listen. I'm a Jewish kid. Like I grew up in Ottawa, Canada, and luckily I don't think I ever grew up with any, you know, acts of anti-Semitism. I also happen to not look like a stereotypical Jew, for better or worse. You know, it's just. The story that MJF told was 100%. Like, it's maybe you embellish it a little bit just to get your point across, but the stories themselves are true, and it's nuts. No one should ever have to deal with that type of bullying.
No, terrible. Terrible. Unbelievable stuff. Especially, you know, New York, proper New York area. You kind of, like, in your mind, you're like, you don't really expect it, but it happens, man. It happens a lot.
Everyone's crossed over there, too. Yeah. It's not just Jews are in a bubble. It's living with everyone else.
Let's see. Where were we? Okay, so MJF, one thing that cheered him up was meeting CM Punk, to the point he wanted to be like Punk, but in January 2014, when MJF needed Punk the most, you left. Great twist to the story. So Punk comes out and he's like, is this true? And he goes, yeah. And he was so conflicted, didn't know what to do. Like, you could see, like, the color in Punk's face kind of get washed off. And it was very well done. Great twist.
Yeah.
Death Triangle.
Very excited to watch it.
Penta Dark and Pac defeated the Kings of Black, of the Black Throne, Malakai Black and Brody King. Penta got the pen here, and it led to the debut of Buddy Matthews.
Woo!
Is he going to get all, like, mysterious and dark also? Is he going to, like, have, like, face paint?
I think he's going to come out because he's the only one who's not tattooed. He's going to come out next week with, like, a single tattoo and be like, look, everyone, I'm part of this.
He got it. He's in now. He's initiated. Dude, he looks huge.
Yeah, swole as hell. Good stuff.
Oh, man. He looks great.
Yeah. Didn't lose a step.
How many years ago were people saying, like, man, him and Omega would have a really good match, right? Now we can see it. It'll happen now.
Now's your chance. Yep.
Jericho Eddie Kingston promo. This was interesting. A lot of, like, work shoot stuff. A lot of inside lingo being used. Kingston was annoyed that the security was in the ring. And he came out and said, I'm not a sports entertainer. Jericho said, this is sports entertainment will be entertaining. A shot at WWE. They agreed to a match of Revolution. They went back and forth. He wants a classic Jericho, the Jericho that Triple H hated. Very interesting.
He said Levesque. He went
Levesque
a lot hated. Insider on this. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of inside talk here. You know what? They did a good build, but Jericho comes off as the heel here, right?
Yeah, I think that's the point. You're turning Jericho again, the quote-unquote influencer, Chris Jericho, as they're now billing him, and they're just going to have this match. And you know what? It'll be fine for what it is. I need Eddie Kingston to win, for God's sake. But if it's a brawl of a match, I'll enjoy it. More than anything, there was a thing going around where Jericho was saying, I don't care. Whoever that guy was that you cut a promo on and got you to AEW, people started assuming that was the Cody promo.
What was it?
It was it was an indie event.
Yeah.
It was No Holds Barred, and he had just defeated Brett Eisen.
That was the promo.
That was the promo where he challenged Cody, Nick Aldis, everyone. And that got him the gig at AEW, where he could then cut a promo on Cody. But people said, you know, oh, he didn't mention Cody because Jericho's being Jericho. No, he just couldn't remember Brett Eisen's name. That's how I took it.
Yeah, I don't think he knows Brett Eisen's name. He didn't mention Cody because he didn't want to mention Cody.
Right. Either way, shout out to JR for completely ruining that this match was going to be made official.
What did he say?
As Kingston was getting into the ring, he announced the match is happening. And then this whole point of this promo was for them to announce that they're going to do the match.
Oh, sassafras.
Good stuff.
TBS champion Jade Cargill defeated the Bunny. Jade looks fantastic. I mean, she's amazing. Unbelievable. Tay Conti stepped up after the match and challenged Jade. Okay, so that's a match. And the main event. Bryan Danielson defeated Daniel Garcia. This was a very good match. He countered the Dragon Screw by kicking Garcia in the head, locked on the triangle for the win, and Moxley came out at the end.
Yep, set up that match for Revolution. I'm sure it'll be the bloody match of the show, and I'm fine with that. It's a stacked card coming up for Revolution.
Yeah, the matches look great. You're going to get Adam Cole versus Hangman Page at Revolution for the title. AEW Women's Championship, Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker. I think Thunder Rosa should win this one. Tay Conti, Jade Cargill. What is that?
Do you think they should add a stipulation to Rosa and Baker?
You know, they do everything backwards. They had the Blood and Guts match, right? They had the hardcore match, and now they're going back to a regular match. AEW tends to do that a lot. They go backwards.
Yeah, it's true.
They start off with like this crazy gimmick match, and then they go back to like a regular one. It's reverse booking. And you got a triple threat for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. The winner of the Casino Tag Royale versus Red Dragon versus Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. So who wins that Casino Tag Royale? The Bucks?
I guess. There's no other story you can tell unless the Bucks get screwed out of it and you're just building towards Red Dragon and the Bucks again.
I guess so. I guess you could do that.
There's no other way to do it. And then what I guess the two cancel each other out, beat each other up so bad that Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus get a win.
Yeah. Based on the Revolution ladder match to follow, Keith Lee, Wardlow, Powerhouse Hobbs, Ricky Starks versus Turnbuckle Dan and Turnbuckle Danny.
Big fan.
Let me see here. Winner gets a future shot at the AEW TNT champion, Sammy Guevara. I think this is very cool. I like that they're making making this feel important. The great moment for Keith Lee, Wardlow, and Powerhouse Hobbs. They're going to look fantastic in this. I'm curious who the other two are. And Ricky Starks. Dog collar match. MJF versus CM Punk. MJF. I'll speculate on a later show, but I think MJF is going to take this. Chris Jericho, Eddie Kingston, Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley and a Tornado Trios match. Andrade and Private Party. Versus Sammy Guevara, Sting, and Darby Allin. Those are the matches. Interesting stuff, man. A lot of good stuff.
It's stacked. It's just a stacked card. And they might add one more after this.
They might add one more, yeah. So, busy, busy card. Couple weeks out. What are we, 2 weeks out here? Next week's the go-home show?
Yep.
Yeah, next week. It's next week. Freaking great. Unbelievable. We're in March already. Q&A time, boys and girls. Submit your questions with the hashtag AskMattMen, and we'll do our best to answer them. Who's going to fire up the questions on the screen here? Okay, here we go. Here's one. $1.99 from Matthew.
Hey.
OFC, it's Joel. Hey, Joel. I'm listening later.
He's an avid overbooked watcher. So go there you go. YouTube.com/FightfulOverbooked. Get him a plugs in.
Get them all in, man. Very cool.
Thanks, Bukowski.
Oh, hold on. $4.99 from Joel Wood. Another Joel. So the prevailing theory still that Cody is coming to WWE. Now that I cannot read my screen because my eyes are going. Now that Candace has a baby, do you think Johnny's come back to WWE? So I definitely think Cody's going to WWE. People there believe it. So I could only go based on what I'm told. I don't know if Johnny's going to go back to WWE. I don't know where Johnny should go. Where do you think, Joel? You think he'll go back to WWE or you think he'll go to AEW?
It's such a 50-50 with Johnny Gargano. I could see him going back to WWE. I can see him doing stuff on the main roster. He's part of that crew of people who have always said, you know, WWE is where I want to be. But at the same time, hey, if AEW comes with an offer that allows him to be a stay-at-home dad, which is something he wants to do, to be on the road less, then that's something he can take. Again, right now, Johnny's focus, and Candace, of course, is having that child. And
yeah,
that's it. Who knows where he winds up? But I can see him in WWE. I could.
All right, what else do we have here? All right. $2 from Amir. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. What do you think Tony's announcement is? I think it's a streaming service. But what can like the best case be, right? Like what are people speculating it is? Joel, you got a better ear on the interwebs. What do you think is happening?
He now owns Ring of Honor. No,
is that the story?
That's the story. That's clearly the story.
Is that what people think, that he's buying Ring of Honor? Is that being speculated?
People started that when Ring of Honor announced that they were taking a hiatus. When all the doomsaying was coming, and now that's out the door because the Ring of Honor is doing shows again. But meanwhile, I mean, the announcement just seems to be it's a streaming service, or they're talking about all the debuts that are happening. And I don't think it's the debuts. I think it's more of a streaming service thing.
What's the craziest one you've heard?
Bray Wyatt. It's always Bray Wyatt. Please stop with Bray Wyatt.
I can't believe how many people still think AEW is a project that WWE is funding.
Why do you think Shane left?
He went back. Yeah.
He went back to go deal with the AEW thing.
I think that's like one of the most wild conspiracies that I've heard. All right, what else
makes
we got?
Sense.
Let's see. All right. Elite POV question. Since they're going to be doing T-Mobile Arena, do you think they do the United Center at All Out? So I don't think they will, because they very much love that arena, unless they do exactly what they're doing with this, where they run All Out for a live Rampage. They run Sears Center, or Now Arena, right? Now Arena. They run Now Arena for Rampage and Dynamite, and they run the United Center for the pay-per-view. I don't know. I kind of liked that area in Chicago. It was so suburban and like quiet, and they had a great that brunch place was fantastic that we went to.
But then you got to leave the venue.
And then you got to leave the venue, guys. And I don't think people realize what a disaster it is to leave that freaking venue. I was rescued. We had to get two separate people to find us on the side of the road at like 1:30 in the morning to take us back to our hotel, because you couldn't cross over. Even though it's like 2 miles away from the hotels, you got to go through a highway, and it takes hours to walk that. You can't do it. So it totally messed up exiting. But I think what I'll do, I'll get one of those shuttle buses. I'll rent one of those and just put everybody in there, because I can't imagine the disaster that was. United Center is a lot easier. You're in the heart of Chicago. Way more accessibility to everything. Much larger building. I don't know. What do you think? You think you should be in Chicago proper, or you think being in wherever they were?
So leave Hoffman Estates. Do Dynamite, do Rampage at Now Arena. Sure, that's fine, because you can get home at a reasonable hour and transit's still running, or Uber, whatever.
Yeah.
Do All Out at the United Center. If you're running T-Mobile and T-Mobile has as many seats available as United Center, that's immediately the shot. You got to do it. Yeah. I think in the next few days, you'll start hearing a lot of our Scoopster friends coming with information on that, though.
Yeah, I when I asked 2.5 weeks ago, because I'm planning my life out, you know what I mean? Like, I got to plan like what I'm doing with these trips, and like I got a bunch of vacations. You got to plan things out. I was told that the likelihood of them doing United Center was not that as high as them changing an arena in Vegas. So I don't know, like if it's, maybe this person's not in the know, maybe it was an assumption, I don't know. But I actually liked Hoffman Estates. I liked how quiet it was. The vicinity from the hotel to the arena, the way that the arena was situated, it was such like an easy building. But again, United Center is the United Center. It's an awesome place, and now you're in Chicago, and I can make it into a nice long weekend, you know, and go to all these places in Chicago. So we'll see.
If you want to keep it to a 10,000 seat arena, just run it at Wintrust. You're in the city again. You're accessible to major parts of Chicago. There's no reason to do it. I get that you want to be, you know, you want to show your, you want to show the Now Arena that you're still partners and good friends, blah, blah, blah. But there comes a time where you grow out of the arenas you started in.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question, though. Next question.
Yeah.
Supersonic X, with Asuka coming back in time for WrestleMania 38 and WWE want her slide back into a storyline, what storylines will she be? I can't read this. I'm so sorry. What storylines will she be? What storylines will she be when she returns? So sorry. My eyes are gone. Dude, I'm resisting reading glasses.
Get them.
I already wear contacts. I'm blind. No. I wear my glasses, my glass prescription, and my contact. It's like a -550. I cannot see anything. These are contacts.
We're old. Just deal with it.
Now the reading part. I don't know where you put Asuka. I think Asuka would have been a great opponent for Becky post Mania.
Yeah, it would have made
sense. If they weren't gonna go with Belair, I thought Asuka was a great. By the way, Asuka has a great story built in. She never, you know, you never won the title. She was handed the title. Now she wants to redeem herself and win the title. You could do so much with that. Where do you see her going?
I could see her running into the tag team situation. WWE's not great at having a mid-card feud, so they probably need to work something in there for her. She's not going to come back and immediately go for a championship unless she goes to SmackDown and steps up to Ronda Rousey first. And then Ronda and Asuka is a fun match, but we know who wins.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, next question. Scared Canopy.
Love it.
I won't be able to watch live, but curious if you think the ROH Hall of Fame shows have anything to do with the marketing of their tape library. Like, if I was trying to peak the value of that collection, this is exactly how I would attempt to demonstrate its value. Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know if they've thought about it in that sense. I think that's like an added perk. But, you know, I think that they realize that these Hall of Fame moments, it's important. People come out. It's a nice way to, you know, create revenue without actually having talent wrestle. Their lineup is tremendous. CM Punk, Danielson, Briscoes, and who else?
Samoa Joe.
You know, this is a... This is big. It's a big moment for them. And, it's so sad. Like, I feel like for Ring of Honor, the story over the last 6 years is so bad. Dennis Mooney in the chat room. Is this my Dennis Mooney?
Doesn't matter. He's right.
You know what? If it is my Dennis Mooney, I think, first of all, if it's not my Dennis Mooney, it's a very Andrew's Dennis Mooney thing to say. Dennis Mooney was my high school social studies and economics teacher that I still have a very good relationship with. We go out for drinks all the time. So I hope it is. And I'm not being vain. I just haven't gotten reading glasses.
Sure.
Is there more than one? See, it is my Dennis Mooney. The greatest person I know. Changed my whole life, this guy.
Good stuff.
We had a nice work agreement. I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
He would let me get away with murder, essentially.
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah. I tormented this man so much. One time in protest, I sat on the floor because I didn't like the seat I was assigned to. And I told my mother that this terrible man made me sit on the floor for all the classes, and my mother called him screaming at him.
Oh my
God. Saying, "Why are you making my son sit on the floor in the class?" And he had to proceed to be like, "Your son is deranged. That never happened."
That's a peer into the life right there. I get
Mooney,
it.
Give me
I
a call, it. Man. Let's go get a drink. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Good stuff.
All right, next question. Should AEW create a women's tag title instead of a long rumored trio title? No, not yet. I don't think they need... Because you got to think about it this way, right? They're just building that women's roster into being something good. You don't want to saturate it with subpar tag matches just to put that title on TV. Not saying that's what's going to happen, but they're still in development of that roster. You know, you can't compare it to WWE and their roster. They've had, you know, a decade of hyper-focusing on female talent while AEW is just getting, you know, their bearings in order with this. So I would hold off on that. But the Trios title, man, that thing was supposed to debut a while ago, and they started using the term Trios more and more and more. I anticipated soon. I think that this is something we'll see, and I don't think it's an oversaturation of title belts in AEW if you do a Trios title, because you're already having those Trios matches anyway. Tons of those Trios matches.
Trios titles.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
The True TV Trios titles.
Oh, the True TV Trios championship. The HBO Max Trios title.
Oh, there it is.
The HBO Max Trios title. There you go. All right, that's what we're getting. Good question, BC Knight. Mr. Big Dude 192, big jacked up Rocky in the photo. What do you think is more likely, Austin actually wrestling or just a segment of WrestleMania? Okay. Sometimes the fans ruin things, okay? I don't think this is going to be that case. I don't think the fans are overly speculating that Austin is going to wrestle. I think these are actual conversations that they've had. What was said to me was never, you know, they've had discussions all the time, right? Way less in recent years. But that 2012 CM Punk match, it was a hard no from Austin. But they were working on him, you know, like they were trying to figure something out, but he was... When he retired, he said it took a while to get it out of his system, and he never wants to get that itch again, which I get. Mm. The words that were used to me was, we have never been this close to getting a match. This is the closest that they've ever been, and they most likely ever will be if he doesn't even do it, you know? And then the conversation was, well, the goal would be to have him wrestle more than one match if he can, if this works out. And then that gets my gears going. You know, you know, him and Goldberg obviously is something that we never got to see. And then we were having fun on We're Live Pal with Dave. Dave was on We're Live Pal, and Gary and I were like, well, how about him and Reigns if Rocky can't do it, right? If Dwayne can't wrestle next year, what if that's the match that you could get to? And my God, if they could get to that, you know what that becomes? It becomes the, we never got to see Austin Hogan, but we got to see Austin Rocky. Hogan Rocky, it becomes one of those. So I don't know, you know, like, again, I'm just having fun speculating this. I'm not reporting this at all whatsoever. These are not things that are, I anticipate happening, but I hope that he can do something. I think it would be a fantastic treat and like one final, you know, exit. Okay. You know what? We got it out of our systems. We will never talk about it again. If it's a one-off, if it's a two-off, even better.
You want to know how you figure out whether or not Austin's going to be actually wrestling at WrestleMania?
How?
You keep watching that Seth and KO versus RK-Bro feud, because either that match happens for the tag titles and Austin isn't wrestling, or they're going to split up RK-Bro, do a match at WrestleMania, and you've got Seth versus Cody, and you do Austin versus KO. But right now they're hedging. Right now they're waiting. They're sitting.
They don't know where they're
going, and I think Austin is the key to whether or not they run these matches, and they need him to make a decision, or they're going to blow up their own WrestleMania card.
Listen, they could do a 5-minute thing with Austin. They don't have to do
easily.
And you know, you started off. Austin comes in. He does his thing. The middle fingers. The big entrance. Glass break. Is he going to wear the tights? Is he going to wear the undies, or is he going to wear jeans? I think he's going to wear jeans, right?
No, I think he's going to wear the tights. He's posting his workout and his nutrition regimen on socials.
Is he?
And normally, every other time, someone pointed this out to me, every other time someone brought up Austin returning to the ring, he immediately shoots it down on socials. This is the first time where he hasn't said shit, and instead he's just posting his nutrition and posting his workouts and getting real jacked for something, and it ain't the movies, I'll tell you that much. Something to look at.
Let's see. Okay, so I see his nutrition plan, his meal prep. This is from 2 days ago. I want to see his body. Where's his body? I want to see Jack Dawson.
Maybe that's the big reveal.
Oh, he's just totally jacked and ripped. Dude, you know, I got to tell you, one of the biggest names ever in the business and such a short run on top.
Yeah.
98 to 2003. That's it. You're talking a very short period to become one of the biggest names ever in the industry. on top, you know, very interesting stuff. The kid that grew up on this, you know, you and I were about the same age, right?
Yep.
So we grew up in a very fascinating era where we had the 80s boom that introduced us to pro wrestling. We had to me, Bret Hart was the man. Like, I know in revisionist history, we look back, we're like, well, Shawn and Bret were never as big, you know, like you have that argument all the time. But like, to us, you know, like watching it as a kid, you don't think that way. You think, okay, you know, this guy is the guy now, and you see him as big as Hogan, you know, as a kid without analyzing pro wrestling. But, and then you saw the transition into something that was so bonkers, this Attitude Era that targeted, you know, teenage boys, that MTV generation, the Howard Stern generation of shock culture. You know, one of the biggest names in pro wrestling came out of it. Fascinating transition we got to see. Very interesting.
It's going to be a big deal if he comes back.
Oh, man, you know what? I want to see it, and I don't care. You know, you could call me a mark, you could call me whatever, but I very much want to see an Austin match.
Yeah, I just want it to be good. That's all I want.
It doesn't have to be anything, dude. 1, 2, 3. Punches, yeah. punches. Stomp a mud hole. The biggest high spot he'll do is the Luthez press, and that fucking building will blow up.
They'll go nuts. And landing on Kevin Owens is perfect because KO is a large gentleman, bear. So pillow top. Yeah, pillow top, go for it.
You know, like, he's going to... is he going to wear long boys, though? What is he going to wear? Does he wear the undies?
No. Black trunks,
Hogan era,
with the knee braces, the whole
okay, Hogan era undies, pull it all the way up to your midsection, under the chest.
Yeah.
One of those.
Come out looking like Trevor Murdoch.
Fantastic. Next question. Oh, who has the next question? Jonathan lost power. Oh, here we go.
There it is.
Andrew Mattman, Joel Pearl, ask Mattman, do you think Bianca Belair is the biggest star WWE made in the last 5 years, male or female? That's a great, I mean, the last 5 years, they've done some great stars, right? I think the change of Roman Reigns will be the story. I think that's the biggest thing that they did over the last 5 years. This version of Roman is unbelievable. I got an admission, like Observer Awards, you know, and I didn't. Kenny is Kenny. I voted for him in the past, obviously, but I voted for Roman. I thought Roman had a better year than anybody else at solidifying him and getting the stink of the previous version of him off of him the last year. I mean, he solidified himself as that guy. You know, you watch that entrance and you stop. And that's how I'm judging this. When that music hits, you stop what you're doing and you watch this man come out. And listen, WWE does a lot of things wrong. Tons that we talk about daily, but Roman is not one of those right now. Bobby Lashley is another big name. They reinvented Bobby Lashley. You know, that's a big one. But on the women's side, Bianca Belair, absolutely. She's the future of that roster on the women's side. Men's and women's side. You know, she's totally marketable. She's PR friendly. She knows how to do these interviews. She's fascinating when you listen to her. She's jacked up. You know, she's so strong. There's so many different variables to her where it's not like a one-trick pony, you know? When you sometimes you have a character and that's all they are, one-dimensional, right? And they do it great. With Bianca, it's a multitude of things. I'm a big fan of her. So, you know what else I love? I love Liv Morgan. Not because she follows me on Twitter, but I do love Liv Morgan. I think there's a case to be made about rebranding her.
As what?
There's something that I connect with. It could be the dirtbag Northeastern New Yorker, you know, like
she tried that.
I know, but I like, listen, they didn't give it time. She start dropping the pizza on the floor again and eating it? Cause I want that again. I think she commented on that. Whose show was I on? My God. Robbie from Barstool. I did a thing with him and we were talking about this and I was like, you know, I don't know if, like, maybe it's a little schoolboy crush. I don't know. She dropped that pizza. I'm like, that's the type of girl I like. You know?
You just wanted to start a bing bong gimmick.
Bing bong.
Anyway.
You know what? I think she needs to start doing Bing Bong at the end promos. She comes out, she's like, Asuka, you know what? You're a great wrestler, but you ain't me. Bing Bong.
People would absolutely lose it, and Vince would be like, what is this Bing Bong shit?
Ping pong.
Yeah. Is she a ping pong player now? It's going to be ridiculous.
Fantastic. All right, next question. All right. Let's see. What can you say about Jay White betraying and kicking out Tama Tonga out of the Bullet Club at No Surrender? I thought, you know, like, if I'm thinking deep, right? Jay White, very cerebral, right, as a character. He probably saw the writing on the wall for him. Normally, when you leave to go to a new territory, you are killed at a Bullet Club. AJ, Kenny, Finn. Maybe he saw this and was like, I'm going to do it first. I think this is cool. I'd love to see this kind of spill over into AEW if possible. I think Tama Tonga's great. What do you make of it?
I love it. I think this is exactly what you said. It is Jay White being cerebral, knowing the history of Bullet Club and saying, not me. I'm going to steal the control my narrative or control my narrative, whatever you want to call it. And he's going to come back and kick Tama Tonga, an OG Bullet Club member, out,
yeah,
and assert dominance. That's what this is. Do I want to see it go over to AEW? 100%. I want to see the Bullet Club is like the actual forbidden door, which, yeah, I, again, hate using that statement. But if you want to talk who crosses over, it's them. It's yeah, Bullet Club members.
One more question, and I got to get out of here. Let's do it.
No, we'll do all day, 24-hour stream.
Oh, man, I got to go to Manhattan. I got to get on that train to nowhere. All right, Mr. Gang Green, last question of the day. How much do you think the BTE-type show for WWE would be a good way to shine the light on some underutilized talent in an entertaining fashion? I know that they've thought about stuff like this. They've tried it, but they're so controlling with scripting things. I don't think it would ever come off as genuine. I think some of those backstage stuff that they were doing with William Regal and Daniel Bryan, where like Daniel Bryan would rap, like those kind of stuff, like that was the closest that we ever got to it. Or we're in JBL. How many years ago was that? JBL and Michael Cole. Oh, the JBL and Michael Cole show. That's what it, yeah, was. I thought it was great. You know, they dropped that curtain down a little bit. You got a little peek at the back. I thought it was very well done. And then, you know, it's just WWE. They do these things and then they get bored and they move on. Great question.
It's also, everything is so polished there too. You can't do a BTE style show. Yeah. It doesn't work for whatever their product is.
Yeah. All right. Listen, Joel Pearl, everybody. What is this one? Does someone have to ask Andrew what train he's taking since Rich isn't here? Yeah, someone has to ask me. I'm getting on the 11:58 to Manhattan. That's what I'm getting on. The Penn Station.
Sync your watches. Sync your watches, friend.
So I got 10 minutes to make it to the train station right now. So I got to end it. Joel, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you.
Where can people find you?
I'm at Joel Pearl, Joelpearl. I am not hard to find. I'm also at youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked. We drop content every single day on that channel.
Excellent. 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 Guys, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week. Thanks to Joel Pearl for subbing in for Rich. Rich is going to be back next week. He's on vacation. He went away somewhere.
To a faraway land. Does 400 episodes? He does 400 episodes, and then he's like, nah, forget this. 401.
Forget this. I'm out. All right, guys. That's it for this week. See you later. Take care.